Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Trinity Baptist Temple Church Sermons Podcast. At Trinity, we're not just a building. We're a church that teaches the truth, provides fun and safe ministries for our kids and youth, develops relationships by connecting in weekly small groups, hosts loving community events, and more. We love sincerely, connect deeply, and reach sacrificially. Today's sermon will be led by our youth pastor, Jeffrey Holt.
Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I'm going to see how ready they are in the back. Hey, could you go back to that last song we just sang? Throw those words up on the screen again there. He has done great things. He has done great things. Arms open wide, Lamb crucified, worthy is He. And He has done great things. Our God has done great things. Thorns on His brow, grace flowing down, worthy is He. As high as the heavens above, great is His everlasting love. Rivers of mercy flowing over me. As far as the east is from the west, He's removed all of our sins. We are forgiven by His blood. Wow. Those are some amazing words. We got to sing to our amazing Savior who has done, I don't know that great things is enough to describe how awesome He is. And I want to encourage you first thing this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never experienced those waves of mercy washing over you. You don't know about the grace that flowed down when His blood was shed, when those crowns, that crown of thorns was nailed into His head, driven on top of His head, and the fact that He was crucified for you and he rose again that third day. I want to challenge you first thing this morning. If you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's the only way your sins can be forgiven. That's the only way your sins can be cast as far as the east is from the west. And what a tremendous song. And He has done great things. He continues to do great things in our lives and in our church. And even this past week, again, another great week. Another great week here at our church that a lot was accomplished. A lot went on. Listen, our groups started back this week, and I want to encourage you one more time. I encouraged you last week, and I want to encourage you again. If you're feeling isolated, if you're feeling maybe like you're getting a little separated from the church and from the things that are going on here, one of the best ways to get connected, one of the best ways to have that community is to join a group. And so I want to encourage you, if you are not part of a group and you're starting to feel that isolation, find a group. They meet on Sunday, Monday. I think one meets on Tuesday. I know several meet on Wednesday and Thursday. Be a part of these groups. Find one and get plugged in and be part of that group. Don't keep feeling isolated, but get plugged in to these groups and be part of the community. We had another free coffee outreach on Tuesday. We continue to reach out into our community. And then on Friday, our school, our academy here finished up for our year, 2025-2026. We had our kindergarten graduation, our award ceremony on Friday. And then yesterday, we had our senior high graduation. And I just want to thank all of you who came out and supported that and came to support our graduates. We had a great, great class. We had eight of them graduate yesterday. And all eight of them graduated with at least a 3.5 GPA or higher. And two of them graduated with a 4.0 GPA who are sitting right here in this room. And I'm just so thankful and grateful for our teachers, for our staff, for all those who pour in to these students all year long. And it's just such a blessing to see them graduate. It's also a hard time to see them graduate, but it's so exciting to see what's going to come next. And so, again, thank you for being here this morning. Most of all, just thankful for Jesus, thankful for his blood, thankful for the opportunity we get to come together and worship our Savior, our Lord. And so this morning, I ask you to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to start there. I want to read a set of scripture here in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. And as I read this, I want you to be thinking of this idea of encouragement. Now, specifically this past week, I'm so thankful and grateful for Brother Robert. He's been working and sending out the encouraging words of the day each and every day, pretty much. And at the one part in there, it says, or maybe it's the main part, it says, encourage someone today. And as I was reading that over and over again, I thought, man, we really need to dive into encouragement. We need to take some things out of God's word and glean them and apply them to our lives so that we can be encouraged by him, so that we can give encouragement to other people, and so that we can receive encouragement ourselves. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. And so last week we had talked about a heart that holds on. Well, this week the title is pulled directly from Scripture, and it's hold fast. Specifically to those who need to hold fast to encouragement because you have maybe a weary soul right now. And so hold fast to this encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Again, Jesus Christ came to this earth through his flesh. Now we have this way. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, listen to verse 22. Let us, and then these next two words, draw near. Let us be encouraged. Let us draw near and be encouraged with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us, and here's the namesake of the sermon this morning, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate or to encourage or to come alongside one another, to provoke one another to love and good deeds. And here's the verse that probably a lot of us in this room know, the one that's focused on a lot. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so this morning we're going to talk about encouragement. We're going to talk about something that every single one of us in this room, we desperately need. And sometimes it's more desperate than others. And not only is it something that we desperately need from one another, it's something that we desperately need from God, but it's also something that we desperately need to be pouring out to one another. It goes all different directions there. It is fluid for sure. Encouragement comes and encouragement needs to flow out. And I'm not talking about some sort of shallow encouragement, not some sort of like motivational slogans or anything like that. I'm not even talking about, well, just think positive. And I think sometimes even I get caught up in that when someone comes to me with something and just be like, it'll be all right, brother, just pray about it. It'll be fine. Instead of really stopping and listening to what's going on in their life and offering true biblical encouragement, I just offer something shallow instead of really diving in and saying, all right, what is it that you need? How can I encourage you in this moment? And so today I hope and pray that we're challenged to not only receive encouragement, but to be actively looking for these people around us who need encouragement. Biblical encouragement. The kind of encouragement that actually strengthens weary hearts. The kind of encouragement that helps believers go through those difficult seasons, those times where it just seems like everything's falling apart, things just aren't going the way they're supposed to, the kind of encouragement that's rooted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because there's people in our lives who are starting to drift away, and we need to come to them and remind them about this great high priest that we just read about. Remind them about this one and the great things that he's done in their life. We need to encourage him in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Understand, the book of Hebrews here is written to some discouraged believers. They were going through a lot. These Christians during this time, they were under an immense amount of pressure. There was pressure coming from them from all sides, all different people groups and governments were coming against them. Persecution had come. Some were suffering publicly. Others were wavering in their faith, and so God inspired the writer of Hebrews to write these words saying, hey, I'm bringing this encouragement. Some were beginning to drift spiritually. And obviously there from verse 25, the verse that I said most of us probably know in here, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some had even stopped gathering together. Stop coming together with believers. It's whatever reason, whether it was fear of coming together and being persecuted, whether it was discouragement that had come in their life and no one had noticed it and come alongside and helped them, whatever it was, they quit coming together. They quit gathering together. They quit coming together in this community. Like I mentioned in the beginning, maybe there's someone here this morning that's feeling isolated even inside this church. Maybe you even come here every single Sunday and yet you still feel disconnected. You still feel isolated, and that's why I encourage you, get part of a small group. Be in a small group. Get plugged into this community. Get plugged into these groups that can come alongside you and encourage you more. And so many of them here in this time when the church was under intense persecution began to be separated and discouraged and isolated, and this great discouragement crept into their lives. And yet, God knew exactly the words they needed. Into this darkness that they were in, these believers, these Jewish believers, into the darkness, God gives them hope. The writer of the book of Hebrews takes these weary believers and he points them back to Jesus Christ, their great high priest. And he gives them the three exhortations that I kind of mentioned there as we were going through. It said, draw near. Draw near to God. If you go back to the beginning of the Hebrews, you read in chapter 1 this big God. It's just this God that is so big, it almost seems like he's untouchable. You can't even go near him. But then you go on to verse 2 in the book of Hebrews, and it says not only is he a big God, but he is a God that's close. He is a God that is near to us. And as you continue to go through the book of Hebrews, it's just this amazing verse after verse pouring out who God is and how there was a shadow of him before, and now the true substance has come through this great and high priest, Jesus Christ, and he's ready for you to draw near to him, is what it says in verse 22. And then he says, hold fast. Be encouraged. I've come. I am the new covenant. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Hold fast to this and hold fast to one another. Actually come together and hold fast to one another. Have this community. Have this connection is what it says there in verse 23. Hold fast together. And then we read it in verse 25. Encourage one another. And so the writer knew exactly what these people needed. He knew what these Jewish believers needed who were struggling. And he says, you need to draw near. You need to hold fast. And you need to encourage one another. Church, I think we still need the same message today. I think I needed that message this week. I think I needed to read those words day after day as they've been coming out to us. And it says, encourage someone today. Encourage someone today. And I think there were a couple of days when no one reached out that day. And that's okay, because you know what I did? I read that word that said, encourage someone today. And that encouraged me. Just the fact that someone would take time out of their day to prepare. We were going through the book of Ruth this week and the different stories there in Ruth. And it was encouraging to me. Again, we need this today. We need to be doing this for one another today. This message is still relevant today. The reason it's still relevant today is because some of us are in the same positions, same places they were way back when. Some of us are still maybe just hanging on by a thread. Some of us here are spiritually exhausted or spiritually dry. Just things just don't feel the same as they used to. Emotionally overwhelmed. Unfortunately, there are some, even in this room, who are still carrying around secret discouragement. They haven't told a single person about something that they're secretly discouraged about. And so people don't know how to help. They don't know how to encourage. And I want to challenge you, if that's you and you've been holding on to something and you haven't spoken to anyone, first of all, if you have a spouse, talk to them. Second of all, if you need someone to talk to, come find one of the people here in the church who you can trust, who's spiritually mature, and confide in them and be encouraged. Secretly discouraged, and they haven't told anyone. Going through it alone, again, isolation, wondering if they can keep going, if they can keep pressing on. And Hebrews chapter 10 steps in and reminds us that we receive encouragement from God when we draw near to Him. That we give encouragement to others when we hold fast to Him. And that we need to be ready to receive encouragement from others, bringing it our way. Sometimes we're real good at giving the encouragement, but really bad at accepting it. Maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you're really good at accepting it. Like, man, I just need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. But you never pour it out. You never reciprocate it. Wherever we're at, I just challenge us this morning as we go through these brief points this morning that we'll be encouraged, that we will be strengthened, that we'll be ready to be encouraged by Him, the one who laid down His life for us, who is our great high priest, who is our intercessor, who is all of these things that it mentions here in the book of Hebrews. And we will be ready to be encouraged by Him, strengthened by Him, and go out and encourage others and receive that encouragement ourselves. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. God, You have done great things. We could have just sat there and read those words over and over and over again this morning. About the crown on your brow and the grace flowing down and the mercies, the rivers of mercy flowing over us and the arms open wide, just bringing us in and forgiving us of our sins. God, just so thankful and grateful for what You've done. We could have sat here the rest of the morning and counted our blessings or what happened this past week and just how You protected and provided and brought us through day after day and then just poured out blessing on top of not only what we need, but you just keep pouring it out, God. We're so thankful and grateful for what You've done. God, I'm also thankful and grateful for what You're doing right here, right now, through Your word and allowing us to come together and worship You and praise You and pour out our adoration to You. And God, I pray that You would make us ready this morning to receive what it is You have for us. And God, I pray that You would continue to be with our church. You would continue to watch over and protect and provide as You have been, Lord. We just seem week after week of blessing, and favor, and You continuing to work. You continuing to provide. You continuing to encourage. I pray that we'd be ready to be encouraged this morning from Your word and receive what it is You have for us. Lord, we love You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1965, there was a horrible blackout in the northeast corner of America. It affected like four or five states up there, New York being one of them. And when this blackout happened, it ended up being called the Great Blackout. Everything stopped. Subways froze, traffic lights ended, people were trapped in elevators. The entire cities went to complete darkness. And it was a bit of chaos. And of course, once something like that happens and that darkness ensues, people start taking advantage of that darkness. People started to riot and loot and do all kinds of things that they should not be doing, sinful things. But there's one report that came from this great darkness, this time of the power being out. There was a lady who was trapped down in the subway in New York City, and fear began to set in her life. And she didn't know what direction to go, where to turn, and she knew there were other people around her, but she didn't know what was going to happen. And as she's sitting there contemplating fear, scared, not knowing what to do, total darkness, all of a sudden one man began singing quietly. Again, this is 1965, and he started singing the old hymn, "The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want." And as he began singing that, well, guess what? Other people knew that song, and they began joining in, singing with him one by one. And believe it or not, just because of that man singing, the fear began to settle. It began to subside a little bit. And it wasn't because the darkness disappeared. It wasn't because it all of a sudden the power came back on, but it was because encouragement entered into that darkness. Listen, church family, that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 10 is all about. These believers here during this time, they were living under immense pressure. I mentioned it a while ago. They were exhausted. They were discouraged. They were persecuted. They were tempted to quit. They had started withdrawing from fellowship from other believers. And into that darkness, God begins to give encouragement. Draw near, hold fast, encourage one another. Point number one this morning, the encouragement we receive from God. The encouragement we receive from God. And we need to be prepared. We need to be ready to receive this encouragement. As God pours it out on us through His Word, we need to be ready. That's what I prayed for this morning. God, make us ready to receive the encouragement that You want to give us this morning. In verse 19, it says again, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus," since we have confidence, listen to that word. Notice that word, confidence. It's a powerful word. It's a word that means confidence, not fear. It means confidence and not uncertainty. It means confidence and not shame. Listen, I don't know what this lady was feeling in this subway as she was surrounded by this darkness, but I imagine it wasn't confidence. I imagine it was a bit of fear. I imagine it was a bit of uncertainty. I imagine it was a bit of shame. Why am I here? Why did I end up in this place? But this word speaks something much different. This word is encouraging. This word should embolden us and strengthen us and saying, yes, I have confidence in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. I have confidence in the one who's taken away my sins. I have confidence in my great high priest, Jesus Christ. Confidence. I believe this word would have absolutely rocked and shook the Jewish believers of that day, the Jewish audience that he was writing to. Under the Old Testament system, we know that ordinary people could not enter into the presence of God through that veil, and behind that veil in the tabernacle and then in the temple what was the Holy of Holies. And so for them to have confidence like this, for the writer of Hebrews to say, you Jewish believers, you can have confidence in Jesus Christ, this would have absolutely shocked them. Because only the high priest could enter into that place. And only the high priest could enter in once a year. And he had to prepare himself and make himself ready. And so the fact that they could be confident and come before the presence of God would have absolutely shook them. And here we are this morning, and we have the ability to come before the Lamb of God, to come before God anytime, all the time, and receive encouragement from him. And yet we sit back and we think, well, I'm just gonna operate in fear. I'm just gonna operate in my discouragement. Shame on us. He is here, ready to pour out this encouragement. He's ready to receive us and give us the things we need. Again, the presence of God for these Jewish believers, the way that they were raised, they knew that it was separated by this massive veil. That veil actually represented the separation from God because of their sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, everything changed. Everything changed. And so the writer of Hebrews is reminding them, come confidently because everything changed in Jesus. Matthew chapter 27 in verse 50, it says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rock split. And Matthew 27 tells us here that the veil of the temple was torn from the top of the bottom, that God opened up a way for us to have confidence. We don't have to come and make ourselves perfect. We don't have to come and clean ourselves up. We just come to him as we are and say, God, I'm discouraged. I'm a mess right now. I'm going through this and I'm a bit fearful. I'm a bit shameful. God, I need your help. God opened the way through Jesus Christ. Hebrews says that Jesus became, we read it a while ago, a new and living way. He is the new living way. He's alive. He's alive today, and he is the way to receive this encouragement. Listen, let's not lose the wonder of this truth. I think sometimes we get a little callous to it. I know I do. I read it, and I'm just like, oh, yes, that's good. I read the scripture again today. I did my job. I did my obligation. I did my duty. I did my Bible study. I did these things. But do every day, do I pick it up and have this wonder over God's word like I should? And I have to admit to you, no, I do not. There are times where I read just to read, to say I did it, to do my due diligence as his follower. And yet, I don't want to lose this wonder, to pick up words like this where it says, have this confidence in this new and living way. Man, I want to be excited about that each and every time I pick up the word of God. Let's not lose the wonder of this truth. Because of Jesus, we can approach God. Because of Jesus, we can speak to God. Because of Jesus, we can cry out to God. Because of Jesus, we can worship God. Because of Jesus, we can find grace in our time of need. Because of Jesus, all of these things are possible. Because of Jesus, we don't need another priest. Because of Jesus, we don't need another sacrifice. And because of Jesus, we don't need any other mediators. No one. My son came home the other day from work and was telling me a story about he had a conversation with some of his coworkers, and a couple of them were Catholic, and they were talking about their prayer to Mary, and Jake asked them, why are you praying to Mary? And they didn't really have a good answer for them, and he was asking me some questions, and I was bringing up these verses to him, saying, listen, there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And then he asked me a very pointed question. He goes, well, Dad, then why do we ask others to pray for us? I said, well, these other people are alive and they're here and we can surround one another, encourage one another. Mary is long gone. We don't have to pray to her. We have one mediator, one intercessor, one person that we pray in the name of, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is enough. That is the encouragement. Jesus is enough. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were afar off. And if you think about those Jewish believers there in the day and in the book, when the book of Hebrews were written, they were far off. And then that veil was ripped in two, and the writer's reminding them, you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. The next verse there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21, it says, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God. I mentioned this a couple of times as I've been talking here. Jesus is not only the sacrifice. He is also our high priest. We can't lose that wonder also. We can't miss this fact that, yes, he was a perfect sacrifice, but he is also our high priest. Even now, Jesus Christ is interceding for believers. He has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. He has not stopped working on your behalf. He is our great and high priest, still an advocate for us today. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, who is the one who condemns you? This question's posed, and then it says, Christ Jesus. He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for you, for us, for me. Jesus is our intercessor. And so as we wrapped up that conversation in our home, me and Jake, I said, listen, here's what you need to go tell them. And I gave him some scripture and told him what he needs to go and say. And again, I hope and pray that God opens that door of opportunity to have that conversation with those young men there at his job. And we need to continue to have these type of conversations. Jesus is the one who sacrificed and died for me. But Jesus is also my great high priest who intercedes on my behalf. He is my encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, the next verse there, it says, let us draw near. There's the words that I said to focus on when we first started. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of our faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from any evil conscience, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near, not run away. Draw near, not hide in shame. Draw near, not isolate ourselves to the point where we're ready to just be done and forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Draw near is what it says. It's so sad sometimes that we do the exact opposite when discouragement starts to set in. Instead of doing what Scripture says, instead of doing what the Bible says, draw near. And again, I would say that there's times in my life where I have been guilty of this, where I was discouraged, and instead of drawing near to others to encourage me, instead of drawing near to the one who is my advocate, who's still my high priest, instead of drawing near to him, I pushed away and I isolated myself. When life gets heavy, some push in, but others draw away. Others don't draw near. Some stop praying. Some stop reading. Some stop worshiping. Some stop gathering together with believers. But the answer to discouragement is definitely not distance from God. The answer to discouragement is nearness to God. That's why God says those two words, draw near. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. I read this verse maybe last week. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is near. He's near. He's here. It's us who draw away. It's us who remove ourselves. It's us who push away and make that distance. He's near. He's ready. He's there. And all we have to do is run to him. Gave the illustration a few weeks ago about him there with his arms open and talking about the stinky, sticky kids running up to his parents and how he draw them in. God is there, near. He's near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. In the book of Acts, Paul had gone to Jerusalem, even though several people had told him not to go. As a matter of fact, one man had picked up Paul's belt and put it on and said, listen, whoever's belt I have, you better not go to Jerusalem because bad things are going to happen. And then eventually Paul knew it was his belt and he's like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to Jerusalem. This is where God has me. And so not that he was neglecting their encouragement or their word. He just knew that God had called him and had given him a prophetic word, if you will, saying that he would make it on to his next destination. And so Paul makes his way to Jerusalem, and sure enough, he gets there, and this group of Jewish believers, Jewish people, take him and draw him out of the temple, and they create a huge uproar. Eventually, he's brought to another city up north of there called Caesarea, and while he's there, he's there for quite a while because he had appealed to be tried by Caesar, or the Roman government there. And so while he's in Caesarea, he has some amazing conversations. Eventually, they're like, all right, Paul, time for you to go on to Rome. So they put him on a boat. And the problem is it was wintertime. And the Bible says that during this time, the winds were contrary and it wasn't good for sailing. And they end up porting in this little place, this little port called Fair Haven. And while they're there in Fair Haven, it says that they dropped anchor in the port. And I want to encourage you with something. Listen, even though they were there and Paul was dropped anchored with these people, the anchor had definitely dropped. The storms around them, or the winter storm, or the winds that were contrary, they did not stop. Paul's there in the port and the winds are still going on. All it did was it kept that ship, from drifting out into the harsh sea conditions. Jesus never promised us a storm-free life. He never promised us a storm-free life. But just like Paul and those other believers there, or those other guys in Fair Haven, when they dropped anchor there, they were safe from that storm. He promised us stability in the middle of the storms if we would draw near to him. Now, go on and you read the rest of that story. Paul said, we better not go anywhere. And they didn't listen, and they end up pulling up that anchor and going right out in the storm. Anyways, boat ends up crashing into rocks. Crazy things happen. It's a good story there at the end of the book of Acts. He promised stability in the middle of the storms if we'll draw near to him. And then verse 23, let us hold fast. That's the title of the message this morning's called. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Encouragement is rooted, well, not in our circumstances, not in our emotions, not in the outcomes of our day-to-day life, but in the faithfulness of God. Encouragement comes when we hold fast, no matter what we're facing, no matter what storms are going on. Because if you go back, and again, I mentioned that story, they end up picking up the anchor, they end up going back out to sea, and it's not going good. They're throwing things overboard, and they're all worried about dying, and Paul said, listen, hey, I got something to say. God already told me I'm going to make it to Rome, so don't worry. We're going to make it there one way or another. And by the way, I told you not to leave that port back there where we were safe when we were in that safety of that harbor and the anchor was drawn. But he tells them, listen, God is going to take care of us because God is faithful. And he already told me that I'm going to make it Rome. And guess what? They started listening to Paul a little bit. They threw that lifeboat overboard and they said, everyone's got to hang on because we're going to make it one way or another. God's got us through this. It's not in our outcomes. It's not in the situations. It's not in the storms. It's in the faithfulness of God. Here's the deal. People will fail us from time to time. There's going to be a time where you need some encouragement and you're expecting it to come from the people that are closest to you. Maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe someone in your life, maybe even someone here in this church, and you're expecting that encouragement to come and it doesn't come. People will fail us. Feelings are going to change. Circumstances are going to shift. But God remains faithful. Let us hold fast to this faithful God. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 says, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Talking about wonder of God's word a while ago. Listen, his mercies are new every morning. Somebody here this morning needed to hear that. His mercy was new and ready for you this morning. God has not abandoned you in your difficult season. God has not abandoned you because your burden is very, very heavy right now. God has not abandoned you because your heart is weary and weak right now. But he who promised is faithful, and he's saying, hold fast to me. My mercies are here for you every single day. Point number two this morning, the encouragement we give to others. The encouragement we give to others. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says this again, let us consider how to stimulate or how to encourage or how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. I was going to say this bluntly this morning, encouragement is not passive. Encouragement cannot be passive. Encouragement cannot be something that we say, ah, that's for somebody else. Encouragement, here, the Bible says very clearly, this word, consider. Consider, that means to think deeply on it. That means to actually intentionally notice when people are going through things. That means to carefully observe even the conversations that we're having with people here in this room and on and in our small groups and as we're having conversations throughout the week. Consider means to think deeply, intentionally notice, and carefully observe. When that encouragement is required, then we have to put in the effort. We have to put in the work. It's not going to happen on its own, naturally, very often, if at all. This means consider, put in the work, provoke one another, stimulate one another. It requires effort to pay close attention to one another. We need to be looking for those that are weary. We need to be looking for those that are hurting. We need to be looking for those that are struggling right here in our church and helping one another. We say these words that we're going to love sincerely. It takes intentional effort. It takes consideration of one another. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Listen, never underestimate the power of a godly word spoken in the right moment. Never underestimate that. When that spirit starts wooing you to pick up the phone and call somebody, pick up the phone and call somebody. When that spirit starts wooing you to send that text of encouragement, send that text. When the spirit encourages you to pray with someone, pray for someone. One conversation can strengthen someone. One prayer can strengthen someone. One text message, one act of kindness, doesn't matter. One thing can come such a long way and help someone. Go back to the book of Acts and we read about this man named Barnabas. His name literally means the son of encouragement. Paul ends up being radically converted there on the road to Damascus, saved in a powerful way. He says, he professes him as Lord, and then God says, go do this work, go to this place, and I'm going to tell you what to do. Go do this work. Paul shows up before this group of disciples, and they're ready to throw him out of the room. And then who stands up for him? One man welcomes him in. One word of encouragement, one welcoming heart, one welcoming set of words, Barnabas welcoming in. John Mark, he failed. He left that first missionary journey. He went away. And who's the one who came alongside him and gave him a second chance? Who's the one who came alongside and encouraged John Mark? It was Barnabas. Barnabas gave him another chance. And guess what? You go later on in the book, and what's it say? Paul says, hey, you remember that guy, John Mark, that failed and messed up on that first missionary journey? Bring him back because he's profitable unto me now. I wonder what would have happened if Barnabas hadn't given him that encouraging word. Barnabas saw potential where others saw failure. And because Barnabas encouraged these people, ministry flourished. So much so that Paul said, John Mark's profitable unto me. Bring him back again. Encouragement can change the lives of the people around us. I don't want us to miss this. Encouragement can change lives of the people around us. It can radically transform things that are going on in people's hearts and thoughts that they're having and isolation that they're feeling. We must put in the work. We must consider these that are going through it around us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, therefore encourage one another, build up one another, just as you also are doing. Keep doing this. Keep encouraging one another. Keep strengthening one another. Look at that word there. Build up one another. Encouragement builds. Encouragement builds. Discouragement tears people down. So encouragement must do the opposite. It must build people up. The world already tears people down enough, and it should never happen here in this church. We should come and be encouraging one another, strengthening one another, and building one another up. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So we talked about it a couple weeks ago, again, about the yoke and the oxen and God bearing our burdens. But there's also an obligation for us here, Christians, in His Word, to come alongside one another, to be there for one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up, and to bear one another's burdens. When we see someone struggling, when we see someone going through something, we must consider it and we must act upon it. God never intended believers to carry their burden alone. Yes, we need to place them on Him, but there's also people in our lives that we need to surround them with and help bear those burdens. Encouragement, I mentioned it might look like something as simple as praying for someone, checking in on someone, showing up and going and visiting someone, listening to someone, serving quietly in the background with someone, speaking truth lovingly to someone. Here we go. This might be a nice way to put this, but reminding someone of God's promises. What I'm saying here is there might be some times where we need to lovingly rebuke someone and remind them of God's promises because they're discouraged or caught up in a sin. Again, encouragement isn't always about fixing people's problems. It's sometimes just simply refusing to leave them alone in that discouragement. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep reaching out. I'm going to keep sharing these verses. I'm going to keep sharing the truth. Any of you who've ever been around me and been around me when a fire is going, you know that I love fire. I don't know. There's something about it. I can just go out, start a fire, sit out there all night long, watch that fire. It's just, I just love fire. I don't know why. I'm not a pyro. I'm a pyromaniac. I just like a nice, large campfire, okay? If you've ever gone camping with me, you know. I like big fires. But if you ever take that one single ember out of that fire and set it off by itself, it grows cold rather quickly. But then you take that ember back and you put it back in the fire and it reignites. Believers are the same way. We got to look for these people. We must consider them. We must bring them back in. And isolation weakens people. It weakens us. Biblical community strengthens us. Point number 3 this morning, the encouragement we must receive from others. So yes, we need to give encouragement, but we also need to be ready to receive encouragement. Some of us are better at receiving encouragement than others. Sometimes there are seasons where we're better at receiving encouragement. Maybe it's because of a place we're at and we're in a bad place in our heart. We don't want to receive that encouragement. Or maybe we're just too prideful to receive that encouragement. But listen to what Scripture says. Last verse here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembly together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, apparently, some believers had stopped gathering together faithfully. So much so that God inspired the writer of Hebrews to say, hey, you need to address this. You need to talk about this in your letter to these people. Again, maybe it was because of fear. Maybe it was because of persecution. Maybe it was because of a fear of persecution, discouragement, drift, whatever it is. But the writer says, do not forsake the assembly. Why? Why would the writer write that? Because believers need one another. We need to offer encouragement, and we need to receive encouragement. I was out with one of our church members earlier this week, and we were sitting there talking, and a man walked up and was talking to us about a project he had going on, and he was using every word under the sun, including all the horrific ones. And it was rather colorful language, I'll say. The person I was with, I could see his face, and I was just sitting there like, okay, I don't know this guy. It's whatever. We're sitting there talking, and come to find out, the man that I was with, he's like, you know what, I was going to let him talk like that for just a few minutes, and then I was going to tell him, hey, why are you talking like that? I've asked you not to talk like that before. And so he did. He said, hey, watch it. And he goes, I know, I'm trying to watch my language. And he let him talk a little more, and a few more words slipped out. And eventually, the man I was with was like, hey, just want to let you know, this is our pastor here. And immediately, the guy was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I said that. And I pulled off my sunglasses and just totally joking with the guy. I said, listen, you don't got to answer to me. You got to answer to God. And he starts laughing. I start laughing. We're just having this conversation. But through that conversation, he started talking about how he didn't need to be in fellowship to have a closeness with God. And I said, how's that working out for you? And he said, well, not very well at all. And I said, so maybe there is a connection to fellowship and closeness and encouragement and strengthening and bringing one another together. And there just happened to be another older gentleman. He's like, I never thought about it like that. Listen, there is something to believers being together because we need one another. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. I read this verse again a couple weeks ago. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. I don't know why God let me meet that man this past week. But I know where he lives now, and I know who he is. I know his name, and I'm going back. I'm going back to talk to this man. I'm going to get him back here, and he's going to be in this church one day. It's going to happen. I have faith. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to keep praying for him. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. God designed us, created us to have relationships from the very beginning. Relationship with him, relationship with others. He created Adam, and he said, listen, you got a relationship with me, you got a relationship with these animals, but it's not good that you're alone. I need to create somebody else to come alongside. You need a relationship with one another. We need accountability. We need fellowship. We need worship. We need correction. We need encouragement. We need prayer. We need support. We need these things together. We must stick together and come together and encourage one another. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you." Listen, that story I was telling you all ago about Paul in the ship and how he was shipwrecked and eventually made it on this island. Read the story. It's crazy. A viper ends up jumping out of some sticks and biting on his hand. It's a crazy story. But eventually he makes it to Rome and he's found favor there and he's ended up able to rent a house essentially. And he ends up writing these letters. He eventually gets out of there. He writes this letter back to these believers and he says, "Listen, I long to be there to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established." Listen to this, verse 12, Romans chapter 1, verse 12. "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, by yours and by mine." Paul longed to see these believers. Why? So that they might mutually encourage one another by one another's faith. Even the Apostle Paul, this man that sometimes we elevate maybe to a position he doesn't need to be, and we elevate him, and it is this great missionary, and he needed the encouragement. He's pouring out, saying, "Listen, yes, I want to come to you, and I want to impart some things spiritually to you, but I also want to encourage one another mutually." If Paul needed encouragement, I certainly need encouragement. If Paul needed encouragement, you certainly need encouragement too. One of the greatest lies believers ever tell themselves, just like that man Carlton I met this week, "I can follow Jesus by myself." You can't. Not effectively, and he admitted it, "I ain't doing so good." Not healthy, not very healthy, not very biblical. The enemy loves isolated believers. Because isolated believers are vulnerable believers. We talk about the documentaries and the lion seeking out the gazelle. It's always that one that's over there by itself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, again, "Not forsaking our own selves together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day is drawing near." As Christ's return approaches, His return is nearer today than it was yesterday. His return is nearer now than it was when we started this sermon. As his return approaches, I believe that darkness is going to increase. I think Scripture says that. It says that that lawlessness will abound and the love of many shall wax cold. And I think in that maybe some discouragement will continue to increase if we let it. If we don't consider one another. If we don't draw near, if we don't hold fast, if we don't encourage one another, discouragement will continue to increase. And so we have to get to work, church. Darkness is going to continue to increase. We know that. Pressure will increase to follow that darkness. And so we must encourage one another. Just like that daily word that's come out every day the past few weeks, pretty much every day the past few weeks. Encourage someone today. The closer we get to the risen Christ, the more faithfully believers should gather, the more faithfully believers should love, the more faithfully believers should connect, and the more faithfully believers should reach. We must strengthen one another. And that story I started out with right after I prayed about the woman in the subway, complete darkness. The darkness did not immediately disappear for her. The circumstances did not instantly change. The people were still underground. They still didn't know how to get out. The uncertainty was still real. The fear was still present. But everything began changing when that song was sang, when one voice began singing, "The Lord is my shepherd." And suddenly, discouragement that people remembered, people remembered they weren't alone. This is what Hebrews chapter 10 is telling us. We're not alone. Hold fast. Draw near. Encourage one another. People are weary in this world, too, outside of this church. They're afraid. They don't know what's going to happen to them. Those two guys that I was talking to this week, that was the one thing that I walked away more than anything. They didn't know what was going to happen. There was some fear in them of what was going to take place after they passed away. People are discouraged. And in here, some believers are maybe barely hanging on. God says, draw near, hold fast, and encourage one another. We have something that the world, that the darkness doesn't have, and that is Jesus Christ. We read about our high priest. We have the gospel, and we have hope. And hopefully, prayerfully, we can walk away with some encouragement in that this morning if we didn't get anything else. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your word. God, I pray that we were encouraged here this morning. What a great set of scripture. Tremendous set of scripture. Talking about that high priest. Talking about that intercessor. Talking about the one who ripped that veil in two and made a way for us to draw near to him. Not only draw near, but hold fast. And then once we're holding fast, we have those words, that encouragement from him, and we get to go out and encourage others. Yes, inside of this room, but also outside of these church walls as well. And so, God, I pray that we would be faithful doing that this week, looking for those, considering those who are going through it and being willing to offer the encouragement. Also, God, I pray that we would be willing to receive the encouragement when it comes our way. Help us to not be too prideful. Help us to not be in such a bad place that we just push it away and shun people. I pray that we would receive that encouragement as well. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. And again, if nothing else, God, we have you. We have the gospel. We have this hope in our great high priest. And I pray that we would be encouraged by that this morning. Lord, we love you. We ask you to bless now during this time of invitation. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to learn more about Trinity Baptist Temple or join us for our weekly services, visit our website at tbtchurch.org. You can also catch our weekly services live on Facebook and our YouTube channel. We hope to see you again very soon. Bye.